the Crown, that is the government, undertakes to see that it's devoted to purposes intended by the donor and no other. Therefore, the public acquires rights to the object, and these rights cannot be set aside. So the authorities of a museum or gallery are not really the owners of such an object, but they're merely guardians or trustees. They're responsible under the authority of the courts for carrying out the intentions of the donor. So they cannot sell the object unless it's authorized by the courts, because essentially they do not own it, they do not have anything to sell. So this is a very important principle. It doesn't apply where a collection has been acquired by purchase, and that's seen as different, and such objects may be sold if the statutes of the institution permit. Now, my own museum, National Museum of Science and Industry's policy is to acquire legal title to material, and so donors are required to sign a contract transferring ownership to the museum and copyright, if at all possible. So it does sidestep this principle. It makes it very clear that a donor is transferring all their rights of ownership to the institution. One aspect of legislation that occasionally has a direct impact on the acquisition of material by public sector archives is that relating to export. The Import, Export and Customs Powers Defence Act 1939 empowered the Department of Trade to regulate exports, which includes cultural objects over 50 years old. And this function is now undertaken by the Department of Culture, Media and Sport, and there's been an update in the legislation, the Export Control Act 2002. Broadly, a license has to be obtained if an owner of an object over 50 years old and worth more than £9,100, approximately 11,000 euros, if they want to export it. So an application has to be made to an expert advisor, and if that object is considered to be of national importance, it's then referred to a reviewing committee on the export of works of art. There are about 3,000 to 5,000 applications under this scheme every year, but only 25 to 50 are referred to the committee. What happens is that this confers, considers the cases on these grounds established in 1950 by a committee chaired by Lord Waverley, and known thereafter as the Waverley Criteria. So these are the terms of reference of the committee. So they want to know, is the object so closely connected with our history and national life that its departure would be a misfortune? Is it of outstanding aesthetic importance? Is it of outstanding significance for the study of some particular branch of art, learning, or history? So if a license is refused, not many are, the committee sets a period within which a public institution can attempt to raise the money to purchase the work, provided that the owner wishes to sell it. He can still keep it as long as it remains within Britain. In recent years, National Museum of Photography, Film and Television, we've been successful in preventing the export of prints and negatives by Lewis Carroll, and subsequently we purchased them in partnership with the National Portrait Gallery, where we had to get money from the National Art Collections Fund. Now, these courses of action are actually very rare. They require considerable effort within a very restricted timescale, and there's no real guarantee of outcome, but in that particular situation, we were successful, so that those objects were not exported to, in fact, America. They remain in Britain at our museum at the National Portrait Gallery. Now, if we move from those complex issues governing intellectual and cultural property, and the governance of institutions, we move on to matters of public safety. So we have a duty to the public, and there's specific legislation regulating how we handle and store nitrate material in archives. This is a major safety hazard, and there have been numerous disastrous fires to archives and film stores over the years.
In fact, the last nitrate fire in Britain was in 11 years ago, in 1993, at a specialist laboratory in Henderson, which no longer exists, in South London. The first cinema legislation in Britain was the Cinematograph Act 1909, which laid down the requirements of cinema premises to be licensed by the local authority. Its primary aim was to make these premises safe for the public following a number of fatal nitrate fires. It was further strengthened by the Celluloid and Cinematograph Film Act 1922, which required all cinemas and other places where film was handled, such as laboratories and distribution depot, to notify the local authority, provide fire escapes, and make other safety provisions. The Act also granted local authorities the powers of entry to remove film for testing. Now, one of the oddities of the legislation is that it didn't apply to Glasgow or Liverpool, which both laid down their own local legislation. So there was further legislation, such as the Cinematograph Act 1952, the Fire Precautions Act 1971, and those, together with the 1909 Act, were rolled up into a piece of legislation called the Cinemas Act 1985. The storage of nitrate cinema film has always been seen as a job for the specialist archives, such as the National Film and Video Archive. And it's usual practice for regional film archives to send nitrate film that comes into the collection from the National Film Archive for transfer to safety stock and retain that copy in their stores. But it's not just film archives that hold nitrate film. It was used by photographers as well. So what are the implications for a photographic archive that's still nitrate negatives rather than movie film? All archives have to comply with a range of regulations designed to minimise the risk of fire, ranging from the Fire Precautions Act through to the control of hazardous substances, hazardous to health regulations, building regulations, and so on. Here's just a few of the many regulations which control workplaces in Britain. With so many regulations, how can an archive ensure that it's fully complying? Advice on good practice is contained in a publication called Standards in the Museum Care of Photographic Collections, which has been published by the Museums and Gallery Commission in 1996. And there it says, permission to store nitrate film should be sought from the local authority. The local authority has a regional authority, that is the town council or the county council, has considerable powers locally. And it can, particularly in areas of cinema licensing and health and safety legislation. The local fire authority, it says, will wish to inspect the premises, and normally it's not worthwhile for a non-specialist museum to keep nitrate film. So it's better for curators to satisfy themselves that they're not holding nitrate stock, and any that they do is copied onto safety stock and disposed of. So the accepted practice is to store nitrate film away from other material in a specially designated area that's been approved by the local fire officer. An archive, like any other workplace or public facility, has a responsibility for the health and safety both of the people who work there and of the people who visit. And the kind of kind of hazards that associated with a photographic and film archive, apart from the risk of fire, we've listed here: the cuts and broken negatives, dermatitis and mold negatives, throat and skin irritations, allergic reactions, mercury and daguerreotypes, injury from moving parts of machinery, injury from lifting boxes of negatives, films and videotapes. So that health and safety legislation appears in a whole range of legislation that applies to all workplaces in Britain, not specifically to archives. And you can see coming up on the screen here the various legislation that relates to buildings and health and safety and so on that we've got to be aware of. And it's quite a daunting list. And this range of legislation grows longer when it comes to matters such as building regulations, which you apply if you're building or adapting premises for the purpose of an archive. And at the bottom of the screen there, you can see an important recent piece of legislation, Disability Discrimination Act 1995. This is designed to eliminate discrimination against people with disabilities, whether they're employees or visitors, by obliging institutions to make adjustments to the way they deliver their services and consider making permanent physical changes to the premises to allow access. Where an institution employs over 15 people, it must consider making changes to the physical features of its premises specific for disabled employees. And since 2004, this year, it must also do so for public access. So, as you can imagine, this is a very complex minefield, and it's where an archivist really does need to call on relevant professional help. Many archives and museums are also registered charities. And they're charities because this brings considerable financial advantages. Charities don't normally have to pay income or corporation tax or stamp duty or capital gains tax. They don't have to pay the amount of rates that any normal business would have to pay. They only have to pay up to 20%. They don't have to pay value added tax in some circumstances. Gifts to the charity are free of inheritance tax. Inheritance tax in England is considerable burdens. It's about 40% of money that's left by someone. So this doesn't apply if gifted to charity. For such advantages, charities must conform to legislation laid down in the Charities Act 1993, which governs the responsibilities and suitability of trustees and lays down rules about the presentation of annual accounts and reports. In England and Wales, charities are regulated by the Charities Commission through certain charities, including a number of national museums referred to in this paper. They're exempt. And there's draft legislation for a new charities bill for England and Wales, which will be set before Parliament in due course, and for a related Scottish bill as well. So in the final part of this presentation, I'm going to look at matters such as codes of practice and standards. There's not legislation as such, but guidelines that inform aspects of day-to-day professional practice in archives. In 1996, the Museums and Galleries Commission published the standards in the Museum Care of Photographic Collections, which we've already seen a quote from. This was the outcome of consultations with a group of curators, archivists and conservators from photographic collections and archives throughout Great Britain. And the idea was to distill current professional consensus on what constitutes best practice in caring for museum collections. So this document covers a wide range of activities, which includes collecting, curation, conservation, documentation, access, how you protect the collections, how you store and handle them, the buildings, the environment, and, coming back to health and safety again, protecting people. Each of those sections lays down specific guidelines for managing a photographic collection, whatever its size, in a professional way. The section on collecting, for instance, recommends that there should be a collection and disposal policy, that the archive acquires legal title to the material, and it establishes who owns copyright. So these are all issues which I brought up earlier in the paper. And the section of protecting collections lays down procedures for guarding against theft, pollutants, pests, fire, flood, pestilence and disasters. Now, in Britain we have the British Standards Institution, which was founded in 1901 and granted the Royal Charter in 1929, which was the first standards producing body in the world. This has published a number of standards that are applicable to archives. And one of them is the recommendations for the storage and exhibition of archival documents. And that gives general recommendations ranging from the site of the building, its construction, which includes fire precautions and security, the storage environment, lighting, packing, exhibition of artifacts, etc. And under modern media, which mainly the aspects we're interested in, it gives broad recommendations for the handling and storage of photographic materials, film and magnetic media. And other British standards give specific specifications to photographs. So there's photography process photographic plates, the storage practices, the
process safety, photographic films, storage practices, photography, process reflection, prints, storage practices, and filing and closure for storage. These are all recognized standards, rather like the ISO standards. In fact, they have become ISO standards. For the moving image, there are two main ones. 10356, cinematography, the storage and handling of nitrate-based motion pictures, and then the care and preservation of magnetic sound recordings for motion pictures and television. And there are codes of practice laid down by professional bodies such as the International Federation of Film Archives, to which the four national archives and one regional archive belong. Member archives subscribe to the code of ethics that effectively lay down the philosophical and professional standards by which such bodies approach their tasks. There's a similar code of ethics which governs members of the Museums Association, which is a body that includes both institution and individual members. And the Museums and Galleries Commission has introduced a registration scheme for museum and galleries in 1998. It's now operated by the Museums, Libraries and Archives Council. And registration is the minimum standards scheme that measures museum performance against accepted professional standards. But the aims of registration are to encourage all museums and galleries to achieve minimum agreed standards in museum management, collection care and public services, to foster confidence in museums as repositories of our common heritage and managers of public resources, and provide a shared ethical basis for all bodies involved in the preservation of the heritage, which meets the definition of a museum. Now, the benefits of registration include public recognition that a museum meets approved standards and a suitable repository of objects or collections from potential donors. And a very important aspect is that it is also recognised by a wide variety of grant-giving bodies, such as the Heritage Lottery Fund. So I pointed out at the beginning of this paper that the overall picture of photographic and moving images archives in Great Britain was complicated, due mainly to the considerable number of such collections. When we look at the legislation affecting them, the picture is just as complex. It governs broadly legal deposit, copyright, governance, export, health and safety. Now of these, legal deposit has until now had no impact. It has never applied to photographs and moving images. Even now, it will not apply to photographs, and we don't know exactly when it will come into force for moving images. However, just as the media we collect are changing under the impact of the digital revolution, so too is legislation as it adapts to changing circumstances. I think the important questions are, how does it affect our work? Does it make it easier, or does it make it harder? Is there a danger that legislation is running ahead of our capacity cope with it, both in terms of resources and of people and finance? Certainly, those of us who manage or work in archives will need to be increasingly aware of the relevant legislation in all the areas of activity in which archivists and curators now work. Thank you.
Moltes gràcies per la seva intervenció. Ha estat realment molt concís i molt adaptat al temps. Em penso que li hem d'agrair que la seva capacitat de resum i de concentració, la gran quantitat d'informació que ens ha donat, i perquè sabem, i tots, i a més ho hem vist amb la seva presentació, la complexitat del tema requeriria no una ponència, sinó poder unes jornades. Però bueno, això serà per un altre tema o més endavant. Aleshores, jo penso que totes aquestes qüestions, moltes de les quals ha deixat penjades, preguntades i com a dubtes que certament ens hem de plantejar, després en el debat ja aniran sortint. A més, jo almenys quan vostè parlava dels drets, de la propietat intel·lectual i de tot el tema dels drets morals, els drets econòmics, en certa manera estava pensant també en la nostra legislació i bueno, hi ha moltes coses a parlar i a concretar. Moltes gràcies. Bé, ara tot seguit em penso que farem un esmorzar aquí dalt Mitjoreta, sí que us prego que siguem molt puntuals. A dos quarts en punt començarem amb la segona ponència d'en David Iglesias. Gràcies.
Okay. Good. It's on time as well.
Yes, yes. I was worried about time, but I needed it.
But this is really interesting.
Oh, bon.
But it's
très complicated.
Yes.
Pour moi, c'est une espèce de recherche. Parce que, au commencement, j'ai réalisé que je ne comprends pas beaucoup de choses. C'est très important. As I went on, and we all need to know who, right?
I'm sorry, I need
to do
it. I like it very much.
Oh, good.
And very, very exhaustive.
Good. Oh, thank you. Thank you.
La Marilla.
Comencem per la seva, perquè ella me va traer problemes.
Jo confio que no.
O sea que la dejo pel final.
Yo ya lo he copiado en verde por el color de la espera.
Está leyendo. Es muy pesado el fichero.
9 megas.
9 megas. O
sea, grande, pero no es así. Tengo ahí una de 240.
Copiamos directamente. No, mejor copiarlo directamente.
No, es que no lo distingo.
Este es el autoport. El auto, este es el bueno, teóricamente. No, le voy a cambiar el nombre luego. Bueno, no lo voy a cambiar. Le voy a poner la coletilla que le pongo yo. Bueno, probamos ahora a ver si. Sí, vale, ya. Nada, ¿no? Sí. No, si hubiera problemas ya hubiera habido antes, ¿no? En todo caso, luego lo podemos volver a probar.
A 10 minutos tampoco.
No, però encara no ho hem provat aquí, eh? 3, 6...
Bé. Bueno, fins ara bé. Continuarà, no sé. Hombre. No?
Muy bien.
Okay. Perquè ja t'ho saps de memòria.
Jo no sé si fas malament de no llegir.
No, jo tampoc llegeixo, eh?
Ens ho farà cantant, en David.
Jo canto, sí. O Antonio.
No, 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 ya está. Gracias. Bueno, d'entrada ja la capsa ja és difícil, ja no es deixa entrar. Ah, per cert, la Mariana es m'ha dit que no se pot venir.
No pot venir?
No.
Com és?
Perquè no sé quin rotllo té a Sant Feliu, que l'Àngel no hi és, que...
Que rotllo Sant Feliu?
Ui, ui, ui.
I no podem canviar?
Com vulgueu.
Home, si ja
ni se'n recordava, dic,
hosti, però... Si ja tens de canviar-ho, jo... No,
parlem-ne després amb la Sílvia.
La Sílvia és aquí.
Ah, sí.
Llavors quedaria, parla amb el padre.
On és? Michael Harvey.
Està per aquí.
Home, fa un moment aquí no ha passat al lavabo?
No.
És aquest que posa finestres?
No. Vale.
Finestres.
Sí.
Bé, no?
No, no, quan treballes, vull dir... veus el mateix que el...
El meu està aprovat, el mateix. M'agradaria provar-ho ara.
Sí, no, ara. Sempre quan no ho espatlli l'Imma.
Ara sí, m'has provat l'accent, això.
Sí, aquest senyor ha fet un moment just.
Ostres, tu tota la legislació, eh? Dic...
En anglès, sí.
I posarà música.
Mirat en anglès, mirat en francès.
I posarà música.
Bueno, tu, Sergi, és una professió de risc, eh? Heu vist?
Sí.
Els fongs, el mercuri... No,
no, quin fàstic. Documents. Ja està, ja l'hem espatllat.
No, no.
O si ets tu que l'espatlles, eh? No sé si se sentirà allà, això. Se posa el micro ben enganxat. Ei, pornografia, pornografia no, eh? Hi ha menors, eh? Va, fem una cosa, com que ja et xuta... I deixem en David que acabi
que provi, de passar la seva. Que provi, jo ja me'l provaré després a la tarda.
Home, a veure, deu ser pesat perquè...
És molt pesat perquè veig que va molt lent.
Sí, exacte, tu l'has dit.
És molt pesat, ja ho sé.
No, no, bueno, sense segones, eh? Experiència de totes la 5.
Ui,
què feia? Hi ha
una relació de fons?
Sí.
Una relació de fons que
us hem enviat? Deu copiar
la
web? No sé si està al web. No ho sé, no ho sé dir. Ja ho mirarem després, si vols.
Si us passo això?
Sí.
Sí?
Sí, 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 i tant.
Ara, o sigui, en susto no se m'obria, David.
No sé què passant, no se m'obria.
És veritat, ara pla, la putada aquella última. Tira tot amb el CD ara. I així ja quedo més lleuger, de pes.
Molt bé.
Jo vaig aquí, no?
Tu vas aquí.
Això està obert?
No. Tot teu.
Què? On hi ha? President? Ja vas presidir ahir, no? Sí, home. Què dius? L'aigua. Tu vés a esmorzar, no? No has anat a esmorzar? Estarà el administratiu? Va, gràcies.
Gràcies.